This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
All right, this is Connie Goodell Newton on December 31st, 2012, the last day of the year.
And you're in the studio, Connie is at least, with Bob Fetrakis. And we're once again bringing you the other side of the news. And Connie Goodell is on the board of the Columbus Free Press, Columbus Institute for Contemporary Journalism. And we're summing up the year, Connie.
Yeah, we have a lot of great stories for you this year. In addition to our website, which can be found at www.freepress.org, we also have a paper version of the Free Press that has come out. It's available at the Third Hand Bike Co-op. Where else is it available, Bob?
Well, the downtown library, and as well as Columbus State. Cup of Joe's, as I recall, Bexley Library, and I'm not sure, but there's a variety of other places. What?
Market.
Oh, the North Market. So over there at the North Market, we were getting a queue here. But again, it's an actual retro paper copy, hard copy, so to speak.
Yeah.
The 2012 year in the review, and it really was a great year. The cover, of course, has somebody voting for Barack Obama and Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan light up when you push Barack and Joe Biden.
So, what are the top stories this year? We have from muckraking to mainstream.
Yeah, that's just a little piece that I wrote pointing out how a lot of the coverage we did on the election, and we'll get to that at the end, of the show ended up being picked up by mainstream publications.
Yeah.
Including, of course, Forbes.com and other publications. So we used to be called crazy conspiracy theorists. Now we're pretty much leading the mainstream coverage that our election system is broken. And you were involved in some of the articles in here. I'm going to get to those as well.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little about fracking, the Madeleine Fitch case, of course, Occupy, as well as the research you did, the key research on the purge voters in Ohio. We'd like to give a shout out to Ruben Harara, who won the 2012 Free Press Libby Award at the Community Festival. And if you're listening to this, you might want to put a word in with the community festival people who seem to be going out of their way to eliminate the Free Press from the selling of the wine booth. We'd like to point out we were the people that originally published the very first community festival ad was carried in the Free Press. We're 2 years older than them. They came into being in 1972, and we've weathered all this opposition, and now that they're big and sort of large and mainstream, they want to dump the original sponsor, the Columbus Free Press.
Well, Bob, well, you know, serving wine at ComFest is a tradition that I enjoy every year, so I hope that we'll be able to continue to do it. So, yeah, I guess we'll see how that goes, huh? We should implore ComFest to keep us around, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're really at the peak of our community service.
Yeah,
we're
definitely
nationally and internationally known, and we were the original advertising outlet and one of the original sponsors for the community festival, so we really think that we deserve to be continue as a vendor selling wine, organic wine, to the community. Also, just briefly, Matt Boers, a Free Press cartoonist, who really started out with the Columbus Free Press when he was unknown, was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize this year.
Yeah, you know, his cartoons are just so right on. They fit with the Free Press so well. And politically, they're just, I mean, really funny and very on point, I think.
And since you were at some of these events, Connie, the Free Press Second Saturday Salon, again, which starts at 6:30 and usually goes to about midnight or a little earlier, will continue this year, the Free Press Second Saturday Salon at 1021 East Broad Street. But one of these salons this year had to do with the issue of the drones. So if you're looking at the year in review on page 6, as well as page 7 and page 8, have to do with three interesting stories, the drone and the bomb, particularly the big lies that somehow these drones are accurate when most of the time they seem to be sending missiles into wedding parties.
Oh, yeah. Why is that? Why is it that every time we hear about it, it's like, no, they blew up civilians. Crap, you know? It's like, well, yeah, they did. They're either really not accurate or they're trying to blow up civilians. Wedding parties. Oh, geez. Could it get any worse?
Well, it could, Connie. Actually, if you look on page 7, there's now a drone lobby in central Ohio who want drones to move into domestic police surveillance. The Minnesota Star Tribune pointed out for the first time a U.S. citizen was arrested on his own property after a drone reconnoitered him from above and sent in the police.
Yes, so, police used the unmanned drone to reconnoiter the trespassing cows and help in the arrest of a U.S. citizen on his own property.
All right, so the use of, you know, multi-million dollar drones to make sure cows are not trespassing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have that problem in Ohio. All the cows, you know, you get bored, you go cow tipping. If you're in the military, you just drive the drones around. It's like on a video game, and you just shoot the cows.
Echo Niner, we've got a cow tipper in Bucyrus. The drone has spotted him. Proceed with caution, cow tipper.
They just fly around into the agricultural areas and zap some cows. Anyway.
Well, anyway, the nodrones.com, we recommend that site. They've been following this weird experiment coming out of Wright-Patterson Air Base just outside of Dayton, which is experimenting with commercializing these drones. Mm. And just like the helicopters and the, you know, armored vehicles
that
have gone to the police, is the police are becoming increasingly militarized in their equipment. And the latest thing, drones.
Yep, they're just trying to keep everybody in line.
And they're miniaturizing them. They're making it, so you're riding your bike, say it's naked bike riding day, whatever you call that day, Connie, who would know more than I.
The World Naked Bike Ride, I think that happens in June.
Yeah, you can bet the surveillance drones will be out.
Oh, yeah, they'll be out. So will a bunch of people with their cameras and police, probably. So just try to keep it legal, folks, you know?
So let's fight this drone intrusion, this lack of privacy, this militarization.
Mm-hmm,
A variety of other things in the newspaper that we covered last year. Number one, of course, was Gaddafi's revenge, the predictable attacks at Benghazi. Once you remove the strong-armed dictator, Ba'ath Party, keeping the country together, of course you're going to get jihadists and al-Qaeda forces coming in and killing American diplomats.
Right. Who fills the vacuum when somebody like Gaddafi dies, right? Yeah, we think he's bad, but wait till, you know, he's the guy, like, the dictator holding it all together. Like, he, you know, gets taken out or whatever. And, you know, then who fills the vacuum?
Well, usually, see, we like to think that these forces are going to be democratic and constitutional.
Of course.
And the forces reflect the culture of the people. If you're in areas that have never had democracy, never had constitutionalism, you're not going to get that. What you're going to get is anti-U.S. sentiment because of our history of imperialism, and you're going to get jihadist and religious Islamic fundamentalists.
Yeah.
Not unlike the Romney campaign for president. Harvey Wasserman, again, check out thefreepress.org, did another great job this year of covering nuclear power, its inevitable collapse, and how dangerous it's going to get the more the renewables become easier to purchase and more affordable. So just like with big oil, which is going to lead us here to fracking in a second.
Yes.
You know, they want to frack this state.
Yes, he did. Harvey did a great job on the nuclear issue, as he always does. And as for fracking, yeah, it's really sad what is happening in this state. Basically, Pennsylvania is able to ship their toxic waste into Ohio and put it into wells, which could contaminate the drinking water, basically. Mm-hmm. So this year, there have been some protests and demonstrations against this practice, the both fracking and injecting toxic waste into injection wells that a lot of times are faulty or in disrepair, very bad conditions. But besides that, just the principle of the thing of fracking, it's not a good thing to do. It's dangerous. You know, we can poison our drinking water, which if that happens, that's going to compromise life in Ohio for the next thousand years. So we need to be really careful with our precious natural resources. And so this year, Madeline Fitch bravely blockaded an entrance to a fracking wastewater injection well site, and she was arrested. She was charged with a felony on the inducing panic statute. And so Bob and I decided to represent her, and we were able to have a successful resolution to that case. It was very unfortunate that the government was trying to persecute an activist in the way that they, you know, that the local police treated her was interesting. I mean, they were not, you know, they were pretty delicate with her, but they charged her high, I think.
Sure. Obviously, yeah. Overcharged.
Yes, why, they overcharged her. Yeah.
Why you took the case and why you were able to talk me into assisting you on that case was, you know, felony charges for inducing panic, which
right.
you usually don't see for nonviolent political demonstrations.
Yeah, that type of charge is usually reserved for people who pull the fire alarm, so to speak. So they fake an emergency, right? And so in this case, she was certainly not faking an emergency. She was using her citizen's right to free speech that is guaranteed to us in the Constitution to you know, to make a statement about this practice being dangerous for Ohioans' public health and safety. And basically, she was ignored and charged and overcharged. And before that, you know, citizens had tried to take various different kinds of measures to get the attention of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, the ODNR, and they had implored the ODNR several times in many different ways to end this practice that is really going to be harmful for everybody. And so being ignored, they didn't know what else to do, and this was the result.
And on page 33 of the year in review, people can read in a section from the EcoWatch Journal on the case, as well as a statement, which I know you and I assisted in helping her write, editing of her position, as well as an update on what has happened in that case, the result that she could walk
right.
away in,
exactly.
In a little less than a year now with a clean record.
Yeah, absolutely. We got pretty good results in her case, and after it's over, it should not she should not have a criminal record.
So as we say in Columbus, not only will Connie Goodell Newton fight for your right to party, but she'll also fight for your constitutional rights.
Yeah, that's right.
Connie.
Thank you. I'm very, you know, I feel very fortunate that I'm able to fight for my fellow citizens' 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment rights and the Bill of Rights.
All right. Moving on to another story that you were involved with, you really did the research for. Page 19 of the year in review, the Free Press uncovers over 1 million voters purged in Ohio. Through a grant, we'd like to thank the Threshold Foundation and Lori Grace. That was a major, major story.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on December 31st, 2012.
And this story from last year, which was a huge story, we broke it here in the Free Press, and Connie, of course, was responsible for coordinating the research. That is, from all 88 counties, we had to get a list of how many people they had purged.
Right.
That is, struck their records from the computer.
Right, Bob. So, you know, we get a lot of our information when we're writing articles from public records. So, you know, everything that you find in the Free Press is meticulously researched, and it's based on research. So, on page 19, the Election 2012 Purge article, it does talk about how I requested the public records of the purge voters from each of the 88 counties. I believe we had almost full compliance. I think there may have been a couple of counties that resisted giving us these records. So, but yeah, basically the results this year are similar to previous years. Over a million voters purged since the last presidential election. So, you know, each of those records may represent, you know, an actual voter who was purged. It could also be people who have moved from county to county or someone who died. So some of those purges may be legitimate names that could be taken off the record.
But many of them we know weren't. For example,
right.
In Cleveland, they purged 267,000. That's right, 267,071 voters. But if you go to rural counties, Hancock, Huron, Sandusky, and Wood counties, and this is information they sent us, they didn't purge anyone. The purges are primarily occurring in the large urban area where blacks and Hispanics and poor white people live, making them race and class-based purges.
Right, Bob. Some counties have a practice of determining who they're going to purge by sending a mailing to a certain address, and they have to respond and send something back if they want to continue to vote. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's a couple different things they use, and one is this Board of Elections letter that goes out and says, fill this out, and if you don't, you see this official-looking document. If you don't open it and fill it out, they simply deregister you. They take away your right to vote.
Right. And also, if the envelope comes back returned to them, they will take you off the voter rolls. So if you have moved, you may need to update your voter registration. And I also want to let all our listeners know out there that if you are a felon, you... if you have, you know, served your time and you're out, then you can register to vote. You can re-register to vote. You may have been purged, but you can re-register to vote. So you need to make sure and go ahead and do that, because you need to exercise your right to vote.
Surely.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, there are a lot of myths out there about voting. So that is one of them. And, yeah, one problem that we have uncovered was the purges.
So the purges, which are part of a long history, the last time we looked at this 4 years ago, it was 1.25 million voters purged. And here's a question I always like to ask the listeners, Connie. In a computer error, why would you be purging any voters in a state that requires ID? Unless you know they're dead or have moved elsewhere, they're flagged anyway. They've got to produce ID. And why are you only doing these mass purges in Democratic-rich area?
Yeah.
This is clearly targeting people of color and poor people. And again, a lot of these rural areas, it looks like the only thing that they will let you vote with is your Republican Party membership card.
Ooh. Well, so, you know, I almost think when I hear about politicians, especially on the right, talking about voter ID laws and things like that, they know that they do better in elections when less people vote, because less people are Republican. Less people, like, want to vote Republican. So the more people who vote, the more likely it is that Democrats or people on the left will win. Well, so that means the Republicans have to unregister a lot of people to vote. And so I think one thing that gets lost in the rhetoric is, you know, everybody who is a U.S. citizen over the age of 18 has the right to vote. We don't need to be taking them, like, unregistering them. Registration should be automatic for everybody who is a citizen.
Which is in the European Union. If we were in Europe, in the European Union, when you turn 18, they register you to vote. It's your constitutional right.
Right. Absolutely. So I really don't see why certain politicians are trying to require ID. If you can prove your identity, then you should be able to vote. And every one person, one vote. And, you know, they're still acting like it's the three-fifths rule in place.
All right. Page 20, who owns CIDL? Article by Jerry Bello, who was added as a chief researcher, but also wrote this article and co-wrote some other key articles. We were looking at who owned the voting machine companies. CIDL is based in Spain. They count the military and overseas vote in 26 states. They had been given permission at different county jurisdictions to directly input electronic voting, which we're glad is illegal in Ohio. But when the right said that CIDL was owned by George Soros, we looked into it. It actually is owned in part by Booz Allen Hamilton, which really is what we call the security industrial complex. They've had people like James Woolsey of the CIA on their board, Michael McConnell, former director of the NSA. They've had the former comptroller of the Pentagon, Zach Heim, as part of their group. They've had George Little, director of media relationships for the CIA, James Clapper, director of Defense Intelligence Agency. This group is not to be trusted. And here's what they're going to push in for the 2014 election. And for the next presidential election in 2016, they're going to push smartphone voting, vote by phone, vote by the internet. It just makes them easier, makes it easier for these former CIA and intelligence officers to steal your vote. This was called the fourth of the 10 most important October surprises, and one that was accurate and true, published in the Free Press on page 20. Came out on September 18th, 2012. And then we followed up about a month later with, does Romney's family now own your e-vote? Page 22.
Great. Yeah.
Huge story that went viral.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I can just imagine how that might have hit the public, right?
Yeah,
that's not really how we want to. We don't want to think that one of the candidates already owns our vote, right?
Yeah, a private equity fund called Solomer that Mitt Romney funded with $10 million that his wife's involved in, his family, his son Tag Romney runs, has a partnership with Higg Capital. And it's the people on Higg Capital, which came from Bain Company, Romney's original company, that owned the Hart InterCivic voting machine that counts 18 million votes in the U.S., including Cincinnati, Ohio. So when we broke the fact that Romney's major donors at Bain Company, now we're at Higg Capital, and Higg Capital just happened to buy in 2011, a month after Romney enters the race, buys the third largest voting machine company, non-transparent e-voting company, with the worst security of any voting machine company, according to the Everest study in Ohio. This story literally went viral for the Free Press.
Oh, yeah, Bob. I love the way that you guys just rake the muck here. I mean, this is a great, great reporting. It's really very interesting, great reporting, and it's the Free Press at its best.
And perhaps we ended that election cycle with the Free Press confirms the installation of secret, uncertified, last-second tabulator software.
Yeah, that's
added
right.
In Ohio.
Yeah, what happened election day?
And page 23 on election day, of course, we went in the court and sued. I was the plaintiff. We sued in both federal court and in state court and had more success at the state level than at the federal level, where the federal judge decided that the expert, a 37-year employee actually of the NSA, the National Security Agency, who said that any uncertified, untested software could compromise the entire system, the judge called that him a purported expert. And but in state court, we were given a good hearing there, and we're told if the numbers looked funny, we could come back. And tens of thousands of people all over the country wrote the Secretary of State and protested the installation of the secret, untested software patches, which in the past, 2002, speculated may have been the reason that Senator Max Cleland lost in Georgia. And in 2004 in Ohio, one of the key things about funny numbers coming out of Warren County, mentioned by Karl Rove, in 2012, is he begged them not to call the election on Fox News, but Warren County and Claremont County and Delaware County, what do they have in common? Miami County, where we found cyber votes. That is, where a computer had added votes over people that had actually voted. Wow. That 549 people had signed in, 679 people had voted, making those vote phantom cyber votes. So when you hear the big lie, and often you'll hear this from Democratic partisans who are afraid to look into this too deeply, people from Alternet and Think Progress or the Daily Coast, which does more to perpetrate this big lie than any other publication, they'll say there's no evidence that anyone's ever tampered with the votes. Go to thefreepress.org and put in Miami County, put in my name, and you'll see a 17-page story in detail documenting fake cyber votes. I don't know why Daily Coast lies. I think it's ideological, just like Stalinists. You know, it's sort of, they have to lie because they're afraid if they tell you the truth that our election machines are non-transparent, they're privately owned by partisan companies, then you won't go out and vote.
Right.
As opposed to fixing the problem, Connie.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, why bother voting, right? If, I mean, yeah, it kind of can make you feel a little apathetic, I think. If you think your vote's just going to get stolen, right?
Or you could have a paper trail that's countable, and we actually audit and can make sure your vote really matters. The Free Press went viral, and that's in there. A good compilation of what we did. And, of course, I think the essay I wrote, Jerry Bellow and I wrote, called Romney May Have Lost, But the Voting System Is Still Broken.
So
is
true.
Is something that we have to do for the future. We got a couple minutes here. Connie, anything you'd like to tell the listeners out there on New Year's Eve listening to the other side of the news?
Oh, yeah. I just want to tell everybody to be safe. You know, have a great holiday, a happy new year. Watch out for your friends. You know, maybe you need to take the keys from somebody. Maybe you need to just make sure that everybody has what they need and they're doing okay. Everybody have a happy and safe New Year's.
I wanted to get your last thought on perhaps the Occupy movement, which was one of the big stories last year. Any thoughts on that? I know we covered it in the Free Press, and you worked with them as I did as an attorney.
Yeah, it was a very interesting year. You know, we saw the Occupy movement start out strong, and I saw activists that I knew 10 years ago at those first couple meetings, and so that was really great. It did kind of fizzle out at the end, but, you know, it's, you know, spring will bring new things. I'd encourage everybody to visit the Third Hand Bike Co-op and Sporeprint Info Shop at 979 East Fifth Avenue.
And remember, freepress.org. Thanks, Connie.
Thanks, Bob.